Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Hello.
Oh, hello. Did you have a lovely Christmas? Did you survive?
Yes, I'm here. I'm alive. We made it. We're okay. No one, there wasn't any massive arguments. The turkey didn't get burnt. It wasn't too dry. It got some nice gifts. What about you?
Same here. And now we're in that weird, like, no man's land where no one knows what day of the week it is. We're still eating lots of chocolate. It's what is this, such a weird time of year? I don't know. But it's nice to just kind of relax. This is like our relaxing time. So I hope you're all doing the same.
I always start feeling quite sick at this time of the year because I don't want to see, you know, another roast potato, and I can't stand around making small talk, eating like a tiny weird Christmas like canapes. I think it is a bit of a weird time. Do you know what I mean? You, like you said, it's like you just want to be left alone now.
Yeah, it's like I've done it all. It's like the party bite time, isn't it? Where everything you're eating is in miniature. It's like miniature cheese and beans on toast, miniature sausage wrapped in bacon. Like everything is small and miniature. But yeah, it is a funny time. But I am this year really trying to make the most of the time off and just enjoy the kids and do all that stuff, which is easier said than done.
Well, listen, enjoy it, because before we know it, we're going to be back into January and things are going to be going full hell for leather. So let's get into today's episode. We thought it could be really nice to have a little look back on some of our amazing conversations that we've had this year. As you know, Georgia and I adore this podcast, and you know, we kind of wanted to reflect on things that have been said and stories that have been told, things that have been really shocking, things that have been really funny, things that have been really inspiring. If you didn't get to hear these episodes in full, please do go back. We've got a massive library full of conversations and episodes over the last 4 years, so please do. But we want to kick things off today. Who are we going to go to first?
Right, so we love a birth story. If you've been listening for a while, you'll know that we love a birth story. And this has to be my all-time favourite. Helen Skelton giving birth with the fire brigade, getting taken to hospital by firemen in France. I absolutely loved this episode.
Again, so when we were in France, my husband played in English league, so they'd come back to England for like every other weekend or week at a time. He'd come back to England. We'd had a load of people around at the house. I'd blown up a paddling pool. Now, who knew that blowing up a paddling pool is apparently a surefire way to kick fire labour?
Why?
Apparently it's like blowing up balloons and stuff.
Well, like...
So, obviously 9 months pregnant. I know it sounds stupid, but with hindsight, I was like, I'm on my own in a country where I've got no family. My husband's in a different country. I'm totally on my own with a little boy. I haven't got time for this. So when I went into labour, I was like, this isn't happening. This is not happening. So I went for
block
a walk.
It out.
Yeah. You know, like, I've got time for this. This ain't happening. So went for a walk, and then obviously things progressed quite quickly.
And you're just on your own with your son at this time, like no one else.
No. Oh my God, there was no one else there.
No. And phoned Rich and said, I'm pretty sure I'm in labour. At which point he phoned one of the other players' wives and said, Helen really downplays stuff, so she thinks she's in labour. She's having that baby. But obviously he's in England, so he can't get back.
Oh no.
So he's freaking out. So he's phoned a couple of the girls, and bless her, and I can say this story now because God love her. My friend Erin came in, found me in the doorway on my hands and knees, and God love her. She literally walked to the back of the room and was like,
completely freaking out about it, completely not being able to handle it. That would be me. Yeah. Georgia would be fine. She'd be getting the towels out. She'd be like, just channel your inner Scientologist. Don't make a noise.
Yeah.
And so then my friend Jill arrived. And Jill, you know, is obviously like just a member of my family now. She's an Australian girl. She arrived and she'd had a baby and she walked in and she was that person. She was like, right, okay, we've got this. I've got towels. And she literally kneeled down behind me and caught him.
Oh my God.
So I was in the doorway, I'm on my hands and knees, my eldest is thinking we're playing dinosaurs because he's only 19 months old. So he's whacking me on the head with a plastic sword, like, wow, mummy's roaring.
Oh my God. And then he's like that. There's a baby pterodactyl.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what though? He's going to know. He's going to be fine. If he, you know, if he ever gets together with someone and has a baby, he's going to be like, yep, done this before.
It's
get
fine.
Get the towels.
And it was funny because I just remember Jill saying to my friend Erin, who was like stuck to the patio doors, get Ernie an ice cream and get him out of here. So Ernie disappears. Jill catches the baby. He was born in the sack.
So
thank God.
Hold on. You're on all fours and basically The baby's head. Are you, or is that already sort of, is it called crowning or ring of fire or something? Is it when they part, like, is the head out? Do we know at this point?
When Jill arrived, no, I don't think so. No, I was literally like, she, within sort of 10 minutes of her arriving, he was born. Wow. I mean, she was unbelievable. Like, obviously she caught him. And then, but what's bizarre, so in France, the nearest emergency services come. So paramedics came in a fire truck.
Wow, that's cool.
I mean, what a story. I genuinely wanted to call her afterwards and be like, right, okay, give it to me again. I just wanted to hear it again
yeah,
and again
me
and
too.
Again.
I'm excited for the next birth story. Surely it's gonna be a big one. It has to be. She's gonna be letting everybody down if it's not.
Yeah, seriously. What, firemen last time? Who's it gonna be this time rescuing you? So yeah, we'll make sure that we catch up with Helen definitely in 2022 once she's given birth. The second one, I'm going to turn to Mr. Peter Andre, not only because my favourite part of that podcast was when you asked him why he thought putting loads of oil on his body for his mysterious girl video was a good idea. Oh my God, I cringed so hard. But also he had a really interesting look on dad guilt. So yeah, let's have a little listen.
What does romantic time away from the kids between you and Emily look like? What does a date like?
It looks like an impossibility at the moment. we went away for a birthday for a night and literally we felt guilty. I'm not kidding. I think ever since lockdown changed a lot of things. And I'll tell you why, because Emily's a doctor. So she was working on the front line through the first pandemic. She was right in the midst of it. And she got really sick the first time because that was before they had all the masks and everything like that. So she had to distance herself a lot from us because she was around COVID patients day in, day out. And it was still new. So I stopped work because my work being in the entertainment industry, I guess, basically stopped dead. And I was like, right, this is great. You know, I can be dad and I can do school work. And literally, I was pulling my hair out by about week two. But that's not the point. The point was that...
we all were, don't worry. We're all in the same boat.
I think you did well week two. Yeah. I was like, hour two.
You know what? I couldn't believe that it made me love single parents. It made me love teachers. It made me love people because I'm like, I don't want to do this ever again. Because we swapped roles, okay, then all of a sudden I got used to being at home and I got used to being with the kids and I got used to putting them, everything had to be about them because at that time things were quite tough. And Emily had to stay away, so I had to take on that role. When things started balancing out a bit, I couldn't get back into the other role of our time. It just seemed that we've been stuck in this, everything's about the kids, everything's about the kids, everything's about the kids. And I'll tell you, we've we spoke about it and we went, we've got to get time to ourselves.
Oh, he is just so great. I really love chatting to him, actually, because we did grow up watching him on like reality shows and we sort of felt like we knew a lot about his life. But just listening to him, he's just... that his relationship with Emily and their setup at home just sounds like the similar to what goes on in all of our homes. Yeah. The guilt, the talking, also the talking about we focus so much on what they're not allowed to do rather than what they are allowed to do. I definitely adopted that this year. I've been switching my mindset. And it's always nice to get a dad's perspective because, you know, we want to chat to dads too.
Yeah, we love Peter. Yeah. George, where are we going to next?
Next, I mean, this is one guest that Zoe was actually fangirling on.
Slightly.
And she absolutely loves her. We both love her, but Zoe in particular cracks up at her Instagram reels all of the time. But actually, the conversation turned to aging and it was really interesting. And I guess somewhere I didn't think the podcast was going to go.
Yeah.
So this was our episode with Louise Boyce about taking pride in aging.
The whole language behind aging is getting better, but the whole like anti-aging, anti-this, it's like, why is it anti? Like, if anything, it's pro. Like, it's inevitable. We're all going to get older and we need to embrace it. And it's actually, it's a privilege to grow old. I mean, there are so many that don't, and it's a privilege. And I, like, my mum's 75 and she's absolutely amazing. Like, she's almost like in her prime. She's absolutely incredible. But she has this, she's always saying to me, oh no, I can't wear that red lipstick because of, you know, my age now. And I'm like, of course you can wear that red lipstick. And I will always do, like whenever she comes around, I'm always like, right, let's do a makeover. I've got new makeup products. Let's try them out. She's like, oh no, I can't possibly. And I'm like, we're doing it. And then I do it. And then she's like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm like, stop thinking that you can't wear a certain shade of lipstick because of your age or whatever. And I think advertising in beauty is much better now. Like, I think a lot of brands have, you know, clocked on to the fact that you can't sell an anti-wrinkle cream on a 25-year-old that doesn't have wrinkles. And also what you have to remember is that the more mature demographic is the biggest. And when you are in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, that's when you have money to spend on products. You know, if you're advertising an anti-wrinkle cream that's £100 and it's for 20-year-olds aren't going to buy that. They can't afford that, or they don't need that.
Also, can I just say that I know we were speaking about me being a fangirl. I've just found out that she lives about 15 minutes away from me. So I've already messaged her on Instagram being like, hiya, I see that we're neighbours from your Insta story. And she was like, oh God, how cringe.
Watch out, Louise. You've got a stalker.
She did say that she wanted to meet up with me for wine or coffee. So I said, yeah, cool.
Nice.
Yeah. I just want to be in one of
the
her videos.
The wine's going to win, isn't it?
Okay, next up, we wanted to revisit our chat with Chessie King. Chessie, who is one of the most honest, real, funny, down-to-earth, but really making kind of moves in the area of no conversation or no topic is off topic. You know, she wants to talk about it. She normalizes parenthood, and she really makes me feel okay with all the stuff that's going on in my house too. And I love the way that she's embraced motherhood the way that she has. Brilliant conversation. So this was our episode with her about taking joy in the postpartum body.
I also think with my cesarean, I feel so, because I can see, obviously we can see our vaginas where baby would have come out of, but I can see the scar and I'm like, how incredible that like I was cut open and that it's just, I can see it and I look at it every day. And I think that has made me celebrate my postpartum body even more because it's like it's just so, I'm like, that's so cool. Like before I had a scar on my chest and I hated my scar, but now I'm like, oh, that's where Aurelia came out of. Like how?
Yeah. And to be fair, I've only just started to look at my vagina in a mirror again after my both of my births. Like I'm absolutely okay with looking at it now. Mm. Whereas before, because of my episiotomy and because of my tearing, every time I looked at it, I was like, oh my God, it doesn't look like my vagina. Yeah. Where's my vagina gone? Like it really took a lot to be like, okay. You know, but it's a process, isn't it? Because
it's such a huge momentous thing that's happened, and your body doesn't look the same. And so being able to love your body when you look back at it, and you know, you have to really feel it from the inside. It's not just about how we look, it's got to be about how we feel about it. And like all those kind words that we need to say to ourselves, like, I don't know about you, George, but I really didn't like my postpartum body.
No.
I just couldn't even look at myself in the mirror, and I wish that I'd been on reflection. I wish I could go back to that time and give myself more of a hug about what we'd done. You know, George,
yeah,
like we've done
absolutely
so much.
I know, exactly. And so, Chessie, what advice would you give to someone, you know, who's listening to this, you know, had a baby days or months ago or even years ago, and they're still coming to terms with how their body looks?
I think for me, you don't have to love your body. And there's so much pressure on, oh my God, I like self-love and all of this. And you don't have to love it. All you have to do is get to a place of respect and acceptance. And then you can build on that. And for me, it's speaking to yourself, just like how you speak to someone that you do love.
Oh, I really loved chatting to Chessie King. And again, something we can take from that episode is to embrace our body. She really took us on her journey through, you know, being like a fitness model, bodybuilding, all that kind of stuff to where she is now. Well, you know, anyone that's followed her for a while will really see that transition that she's been on.
Big journey.
Yeah.
And also for two people, you know, you and I, who, I mean, look, you didn't have an eating disorder, but you've always been, you know, in shape, and you've always taken pride in your appearance and, like, you know, been sort of fit and healthy and exercise and stuff. Going through pregnancy and watching my body change the way that it did, I mean, it was so heavy coming out of it and looking at my postpartum body, and I really had to dig deep. And Chessie is the person on Instagram that I kind of turn to if I'm ever having a little wobble about it. And I'm just, you know, I try and be really strong and try and not let the demons come back out again, and actually to be okay with where I am with my body. There's a real level of acceptance on her page. We love chatting to her. She's brilliant.
Yeah. Next up, this is an episode that was obviously really close to me, and a service that I use, Pregnant Then Screwed. So we chatted to Jolie Brearley all about discrimination in the workplace, and I don't think we've ever had such a huge response from an episode.
Majority of women face bullying and harassment. That's the usual thing. That's how it starts. So they'll
when
say
they're pregnant.
Yeah, they'll say they're pregnant, and their personal development reviews will go from excellent to substandard in the blink of an eye, and nothing will have changed. Their performance hasn't changed, but the perception of their performance has changed. And then people start making snide comments, start pushing you out of meetings, taking clients off you. They'll stop giving you training. So it's very subtle. Redundancy is very common because it's very hard to prove, and the law around redundancy is very flimsy for pregnant women and for women returning from maternity leave. So suddenly you're up for redundancy, and so is Sarah, who's also pregnant, and so is Michelle, who's just got back from maternity leave. And then at the more extreme end, it's just being pushed out or demoted. You know, lots of women say they come back from maternity leave and they want to keep the person that's been doing their maternity cover. And so they just put you in a completely different position that's rubbish and nothing to do with your job. So I'll give you some examples. I'll give you some examples.
Yes. Yeah, give us some examples.
I mean, I've heard from at least 100 women who told their boss that they were pregnant and their boss told them to have an abortion.
What?
I heard from a woman who was her and the other women in the office would be made in a morning to sit together, and they would have to do a shot of vodka every morning to prove that they weren't pregnant and weren't planning on getting pregnant.
Oh my good God.
I heard from a woman who had been working for the same firm for 5 years. She told her boss that she was pregnant. She was bullied and harassed so viciously by her boss and her colleagues. It was so nasty that she went into labor prematurely. And when she was in the neonatal clinic with her baby, who could have died, her boss called her and made her redundant.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she is mega, isn't she? What an amazing woman. She's like just the charge, the force behind her. You're helping so many people that deal with that. They have to go through that shit when they're either announcing their pregnancy or they're trying to get back into work post, you know, postpartum. Wow.
I know. I was seriously shocked by some of the stories that she shared, like having to do vodka shots in the morning to prove you're not pregnant. Oh, I mean, this stuff still happens. Like, and I really hope that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen so much anymore. But we're in 2021 and that's still going on. It's crazy.
Yeah. Things need to change next year, don't they?
Yeah. We'll be right back after this short break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Right, let's move on to the wonderful Helen Thorne. Now, Helen is one half of Scummy Mummies. No doubt you follow her on Instagram already. And wow, she's been through it the last year. She obviously found out that her husband was having an affair during lockdown, the start of lockdown. And she started her new life as a single mum, raising her two kids and everything that came with that. Really, really honest with us. And I found it really powerful. I found it very funny in parts, really emotional in others. And yeah, my respect for Helen. Wow. Through the roof, really. Yeah, absolutely. She's an amazing woman. So this was our conversation with Helen Thorne about dating after divorce.
With this, I try to do a variety of things, you know. I mean, it is nice occasionally, you know, when I get a good shag. That's lovely. That's a lovely thing. That's a wonder. I really like sex. Who knew, hey? I'm really into it. It's great. And I've had sex with a variety of people. And that's been wonderful as well. Just sort of discover, you know, dating younger men, older men, men from different countries, like all sorts of things. And
wow.
It's been
jealous.
Really, yeah, I'm thinking about that. I'm like, oh God, it's feel like again. Yeah.
I'm having a lovely time. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't do it all the time. And also in the beginning, I was like, oh my God, give me all the cock. Just fill me up. And now I've calmed down a little bit, which is good because, you know.
Too much cock gets a bit boring.
Oh, it does.
No one ever.
It does. And there's a lot of admin in it. You know, you've got to connect with the people on the internet. And just, you know, going, oh, I'm only free on Friday nights. Oh, no, I've got a gig. Maybe Saturday night. Oh, I'll go to your house. Like, it's, you know, there's, and then there's the lists of things like, yeah, I like this and I don't like this. And then they'll be like, oh, I like anal and pulling hair. I'm like, oh, I'm really busy for the next forever. Bye.
That has to be the episode that had me in stitches, like over any throughout the year, like that. I was cracking up for hours after WhatsApp porn. Oh, just all of her dating stories. I just loved it. I loved her. What a fantastic episode.
Yeah, she was brilliant, wasn't she? And I loved the fact that it really did get me thinking about my home move, the quality of my home movies. I really need to up my game. If this is now a thing, it's like, oh, maybe I should be shooting them in 4K rather than for like HD. I don't know.
Yeah, get some specific lighting. that's your goal for 2022. Want some good video content. I don't want to see it though.
No.
And so next up, we invited Anna Matha back onto the podcast to host a Q&A. And this has to be one of the episodes that changed my outlook throughout the year the most. We were talking about all sorts of stuff and you sent in so many questions, but something that really came up was around intrusive thoughts. So this is our episode with Anna Matha on looking after you.
One of the things that we love so much about you, following you on social media, is your complete raw honesty, even to the point of, I remember seeing a post, I can't remember exactly when it was, but maybe sort of 6 to 8 months back, of you standing by a window holding your baby. And it was just really poignant. It's a huge thing to say, because we've all felt it, like that moment where your brain goes, well, what if I threw my baby out the window, or what if my baby fell out the window, or what was going to happen? And then you're like, of course you're not going to do that. But it's really weird, the stuff that comes up. I know that's a bizarre thing to say, but it's really stayed with me, because there's been so many times where I've held my children and thought, what if I drop them and their head hit on the floor? Like what goes on?
Stop,
what is
visualizing
that?
It's
weird, like intrusive thoughts, isn't it? I sometimes get it if I'm driving and I think, I'm in control of this car, and if I just close my eyes, everyone's gonna die, basically. It's so weird. But why does this come up when we become mothers? Because I don't remember having it before.
No way.
Intrusive thoughts, we have them all the time. They're basically a safety mechanism. So, you know, do you ever, if you just think, when you're on the tube station, you might imagine a train coming by and like you've slipped. So it might just then cause you to step back away from the line. So, you know, some of these thoughts we have all the time, we just often don't give them much thought. They're just safety mechanisms. Whereas when we're tired, we've got a new baby and suddenly we feel so much more vulnerable, and this baby's vulnerable, and we feel like, goodness me, we've got all this responsibility. Those thoughts come more often when we're tired, and we can't rationalize them in the same way. We don't, they can take hold a little bit more, and they can just feel so much more shocking. And I have the absolute privilege of knowing a lot about intrusive thoughts, and also knowing that we all get them to different degrees. Like we get funny ones as well. Like, have you ever been in the gift shop and like seen a massive stand of mugs or something and just thought, oh my gosh, I could just like push that over? Or at a wedding. My other one is at a wedding, when, you know, when they say, does anybody here?
Yes!
And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm playing this whole scenario out in my mind where I just kind of stand up like with my hand in the air, like really dramatically, and everyone turns and looks at me. And of course we never do it, but that's an intrusive thought as well. It's just our mind playing with possibility and risk and responsibility.
Yeah, that was the episode that I admitted how angry I'd been getting and how pulled in all the directions I thought I was. And this mum rage, we talked about mum rage a lot. So if you have experienced that, and you know, you think you're the only one, you are definitely not. It is really, really important to go back and have a little listen to that episode, because obviously you guys were sending in your questions, but we went off on lots of various tangents all around motherhood, and we shared some quite big things that have been going on in our lives. I feel like it was one of the most sort of impactful ones that we've done throughout the year, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
We love Anna.
Yeah.
So from Anna, we move on to a very special episode that we always dedicate to you if you have been through any form of baby loss. We open up our platform for you guys to send in your baby loss stories. And you know, this is voice notes from you guys telling us about your experiences in this subject, and they are always incredibly beautiful, really sad, but also really uplifting. At the same time, your strength and bravery always shines through. So, this is our episode on baby loss, your stories.
Hi, I know I'm late sending this in, but I promised myself after listening to your baby loss episode last year that I would be ready to tell my story this time around. So even if no one hears this, perhaps I will feel a little lighter by talking out loud. In honour of my darling son, Teddy, we were absolutely delighted to find out we were pregnant autumn 2018. After the standard number of ultrasounds and tests that are carried out, we were told everything was fine and baby was doing great. It was an enjoyable, low-risk pregnancy until I hit 33 weeks gestation. I hadn't felt him kick in a few hours, and although we were sure it was nothing to worry about, we went to the hospital to ease my anxiety. After numerous midwives checked me over, we heard the words every expectant parent dreads. I'm sorry, there is no heartbeat. Our lives came crashing down around us. We could not comprehend what the nurses were saying. We were so close to the end of our pregnancy. My healthy baby's heart had stopped and there was nothing we could do to change that fact. It was too late. He had died. The next few days were the worst of my life. We were sent home and asked to return the next day where I would deliver my lifeless baby on the maternity ward. Everyone at the hospital was telling me that the best way to do that was to take tablets that would bring on my contractions and deliver him naturally. In my opinion, there wasn't anything natural about what was happening to us, and I made the decision to have a cesarean against all of the doctor's advice. Even in my bubble of immense grief, I knew myself enough to know I would not have survived a natural labour over a period of 24 to 48 hours. I was already thinking about how I could be with my baby. Although a C-section had its physical risks and recovery implications, my mental health should also have been considered. Looking back, I'm so glad I found my voice at this crucial time. The doctors finally agreed to the C-section and I was taken into surgery holding my partner's hand, where my perfect, silent boy was delivered, weighing 4 pounds, 6 ounces. Leaving the hospital a few days later with empty arms shattered my heart into a million pieces and it will never fully recover. The next few months were a complete blur. I'm so thankful for friends and family who were there for me. They washed me, hugged me, and just sat with me and let me cry. After Teddy's funeral, we tried to focus on other things and continue with our lives, but I found it impossible. I couldn't even look in the mirror. I didn't recognise the person looking back at me. I didn't want to be that person, the girl who couldn't stop her baby from dying inside of her. I sought out counselling and was prescribed antidepressants to get me through those dark days and eventually started to see some joy in life again. Of course, I still have bad days and things that trigger me, but I've come to accept that we grieve so hard because we love so hard, and grief and happiness can coexist. I've since gone on to have a healthy baby girl, my precious Rainbow, who is a force of nature and will always have her big brother protecting her from beyond the clouds. Thank you for raising awareness, it's so important. And my heart goes out to anyone who is suffering with baby loss. Please be kind to yourselves.
Powerful.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we get to do this and we have this platform to open up these conversations, because ultimately it's this platform's, you know, came about to help people and open up these conversations. And it's definitely something that we want to continue to do going into 2022. So thank you to everybody that sent them in, and just know that you're not alone if it is something you're going through, and you can, like, you can reach out to us, and if we can help in some way, that we will.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Moving on to one of my favourite episodes of the year, just because I was such a fan of the show. This is my fangirl moment. We chatted to Jules Robinson, who was obviously on Married at First Sight Australia.
Screams!
Oh, I just absolutely loved her and Cam in the series. And yeah, I mean, we chatted to her about a whole host of subjects, but, you know, the press attention, her body confidence. Oh, I just loved it.
But going on such a big platform of a TV show, you know, you're very much put on a platform for judgment. So I remember when the TV ad came out, and it was an amazing ad, and I didn't speak in. Oh, I did do like a voiceover, but there was so many comments online about my body and the way that I looked. Even before I spoke, before people could actually judge me for my character, I was already judged for my body. And I just was like, whoa, like it was just so full on. And for that to happen, you know, I always say it's like an explosion overnight you can't prepare for, because it's just like coming from everywhere. So to go on that platform, I really had to, I guess, really present myself in a way and be like, okay, I like who I am. I'm okay with myself, and I'm going to dress my body however I want. And you know what? If you don't like that, it's not my problem. So like, I just really had to step into my own empowerment to be like, all right, this is a big thing, you know, that people are going to be coming at you everywhere and telling you who you are. So coming off the back of the show, I did get trolled and, you know, body shamed, and I was fat and I was this and I was that. But on the other hand, as I was saying, I had so many women reach out to me to be like, you remind me of me. Like you represent me, and it's so great to see a curvy woman on TV in a reality show, which, you know, generally isn't really.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going back 3 years ago now.
Yeah, she's great. And do you know what? A real highlight of that episode was when she asked us to be models for her new lingerie line.
Yeah.
We haven't taken her up on that.
This
actually,
space
George.
In 2022. You'll be seeing me and Zoe in our pants.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The final kind of snippet of an episode that we wanted to share with you today, another one of our favourites from the year, is the conversation that we had with Expect the Best. Now, Expect the Best are made up of Chris and Rose. If you listen to the podcast regularly, you'll know them. They are big, powerful voices on this platform. They speak the same language as us. And we decided to do kind of SOS parenting, an SOS parenting episode where you could send in all of your fears, everything that was going on, you know, moments of crisis, bits of advice that you wanted, and they answered them all. So equipping your child with changes after the pandemic, something that is really, really important for obviously the year that we've just been through.
So we've all had it in nursery and it happens at school. And I think a way to like say to your child about that is be like, if that happens to you, somebody hits you, first of all, your first port of action is to be like, no, thank you, stop. Like teaching them to be like, I didn't consent for you to do that. And we can do that as young as any age. And then being like, do you know what, Kit? If they do that, it's not your worry. You go and tell your grown-up. That is what they're there for. They're there to help you. You go and tell them. And it's that's a difference between we don't want our kids to be a grass. Who am I? You don't want your child to be like a
little snitches end with stitches or little stitches.
Right, George.
Stitches end up with ditches.
but giving them that like power to go to an adult and be like, they're there to help you instead.
Yeah.
Because I know like deep down, obviously Zoe, in that point, in that situation, if someone's hit your child and he's hit them back, you're like, yeah, too right. Because we're such a generation of that. My dad was the same with me. If somebody hits you, you hit them back twice as hard. It's kind of in us. And actually we do need to move away from that because that's
agreed.
What creates it. So actually being like, there are people here to help you when you're feeling like that.
I definitely think that is another episode that we've got to do again in 2022. I think Chris and Rose are like on speed dial for us. So we know how lucky we are to have them. So if we can share that luck with you, then we absolutely will. They just speak our language. They do. They know their stuff. They've done the work. They've done the research. They've done the courses. They've done all that kind of stuff. But they translate it into everyday life, and they're very practical about it and realistic. And that is what I love so much about them. You never feel judged. You never feel like you're doing the wrong thing. It's like they give you a big hug and tell you it's gonna all be okay.
But they also give you practical advice that goes with it. And it's like you said, George, in a completely non-judgmental way. So if you are kind of feeling a bit like you're swimming through treacle at the moment with your kids and you need a bit of help and advice, do drop them a DM because they are around to help. Like Georgia said, they've been doing it for a very, very, very long time. And we will be picking up Parenting SOS, a Q&A in the new year, because I feel like I read something on Instagram the other day and it was a mum talking to her son being like, oh, you know, how was your day today? And the son turned around to her and said, there's a new variant called Omicron and we're having to deal with that now. So we've got to wash our hands more than ever. And it's like these poor kids, you know, it's like that's their reality at the moment. All of that language. So, we are here to help and so are they. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. If you haven't managed to listen to the episodes that we have spoken about or the snippets that you've heard today, do go back to the library, go to wherever you get your podcast from and do have a listen to them because, we're biased, but we think they're all right.
Yeah, we think they're pretty good. And do tag us in your pictures. We'd love to see, you know, where you're listening over the festive period and any feedback or anything you'd like to see us do in 2022, then please do drop us a DM because we will be planning for next year and we're on at Made by Mamas. But we will be back on Friday with another episode. So we'll see you then.
See you then.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the wonderful Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.